Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to approach Your Word again. And Father, this was a divine appointment that I had received from You when You asked me to share this with Your people. The importance of being able to hear. Understanding what it means to hear with the ear. So Father, today as I speak, may Your people grasp it and understand it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We're talking about being able to hear the Word of God. There's two types of hearing that are in our life, and yet many of us don't realize we do have two types of hearing. One type of hearing is with the natural mind, and another type of hearing is with our spirit. And because we don't think separated when we think. We think as one unit. Amen? How many can say yes, amen to that? You know, you don't look through your eyeballs and think, now I'm thinking out of this brain, and then I'm thinking out of this brain. You don't do that. The only way that you can understand how you're thinking is through the Word of God. And the Word of God has to do something to you. And what it does is the Word of God is the tool from which God divides you up as a person. And we're studying Wednesday night what it means to be spiritual. And so if you haven't been coming Wednesday night, I encourage you, please come, because we've got a lot more insight than we had even a year ago. And so be consistent with your ability to hear if you possibly can. Because people, church services are not set up by men. They're a divine appointment for you to hear a specific word for you this day and this week. How many of you believe that? You know, for years I never understood how to hear the Word of God until after I had really come to the understanding of how much I had missed, even though I was present hearing with my natural ear. And one of the points that I brought out was that after graduating from Rhema, we were the last year you could tape every service. And of course me, I'm a fanatic when it comes to the Word of God. I got to hear every class and hear every message so I can hear it. And so I had all these cassette tapes lined out. Man, we had stacks of them. And so I made a decision after graduating I could drive up to Seattle where I worked there next to Lake Washington, I guess it is right there. Is that right? Lake Washington? Anyway, I worked right on the lake there, and so that was quite a drive. Boy, today it's really quite a drive. But anyway, I started listening to these cassettes again, and the thing that shocked me is that I must have lost 50% of the content that was in those services. And I didn't know that they taught what they taught. I was stunned. I couldn't believe how much I had missed. And so that's when the Lord had begun to show me how to hear the Word of God. And thank God for a man that had come into my life by the name of Dave Roberson. Many of you know who he is. And Dave Roberson then began to teach me how to really meditate, assimilate and meditate the Word of God. Matter of fact, he was in one service here. You guys, some of you might even remember it. And he was preaching how to meditate and assimilate the Word of God. And I was sitting on the front row and I was so caught up in what I was hearing, how I could hear the Word of God apart from my outer man, that I actually was quoting the sermon in front of Dave while he was preaching it. And Dave stopped and he made this statement. He says, Jan is overwhelmed at what I'm saying because he caught it. Well, it's strange, but you can hear with your natural ear, but not realize how important it is to hear with your spiritual ear. There is a difference between the two. And it's hard to get people to understand how to make that distinction. But I can say one thing, that God has given us a language of our inner man called speaking in tongues. And when you speak in tongues a lot, you might not have the ability to teach, you know, the Word of God, but everyone has the ability to understand the Word of God because He's given us of His Spirit, and then He's given us a language whereby we can pray out these mysteries that God has designed for us to know. And so when people speak in other tongues a lot, you'll find that they also have an easier ability to understand the Word of God when it is being taught than just hearing it. Amen? You guys following what I'm saying? Now, I said all that to say this, that sometimes we lay a foundation within us, not knowing what foundation we can lay in us. And listen, I don't care what any of you say. I've watched not only a house being built across the street from us, but I was also participating in building an addition to our house. And boy, you get heads up why things have to be done a specific way. And I have learned that if you're going to build onto your house, you have to lay the proper foundation in order to build properly off of it. How many understand what I'm talking about? So, in our addition, we had to build kind of a weird wall all the way around. And I thought it was very interesting. My son-in-law, bless his beautiful, wonderful heart, he took a measurement off of one side and a measurement off the other and forgot to understand that he took a measurement off the footing rather than the wall. On the other side, he took a measurement off the wall. So naturally, when we poured the cement and had the wall all up, guess what? We were 2.5 inches out of square. Do you think that that gave me a problem building on that foundation? I had to repent on the knowledge of 1 John towards my son-in-law. Or I would have liked to have gotten a hold of him and pour him into the foundation myself. Because he made everything that we built off that foundation one nightmare! So, a foundation that you lay within yourself, you have to build off of that foundation. Now, we're going to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's go to verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Notice this. You are God's building. Now, he said that off of verse 8. One plants and one waters, and they're both co-equal, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, if you're a contractor, you know what I'm talking about. Now, notice what he says there. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now follow this next verse. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, how many of you believe that these are good, strong, viable material? Notice what he adds to it. Wood, hay, and straw. Now, how many of you know the last three are not as strong as of the first bunch mentioned? Now, notice he says, and each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Whew. What powerful verses. What powerful verses. Now notice, he says, there's going to be a foundation that is laid, but the responsibility of you and I is how we build off of that foundation. Now, it tells you what kind of substance that is going to be built off of the foundation, either gold and silver or precious stone or wood, hay, and stubble. And did you know that each one of us, now this foundation that Paul was speaking of here is the foundation that Christ laid. How many of you know that's a good foundation? That means that if your house is built upon Jesus, then when the evil day comes, it will stand. Why? Because it's founded upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Boy, I love the prophecies that came forward today. You know what God's telling a lot of you in this congregation? When a prophecy goes forward, God is trying to get you to get a hold of something, because every one of you has got tomorrow to face, let alone today. And I'm going to tell you what, that prophecy, if you ain't got a hold of it, possibly the finishing of this day or the rest of the week, you're going to wish that you had that on CD and listening to it again, because it'll come right down to where you are at the evil day. And it says on the evil day, there's going to be a fire that will come. Have you ever noticed about gold and silver? You know what happens to gold and silver? It gets purified. And the fire purifies a man's work that he's built upon that foundation. Woo, glory! If I got a lot of gold and silver in my life, then the fire will remove the impurities in the gold and silver that is in me. Glory to God! And then precious stone? You can take diamonds and throw them right in the midst of a fire. Won't hurt them a bit. How many times we've seen people fall apart like a cheap watch because fire came their way? Whew. I'll tell you, it's not good. Now, in my hearing, I had the wrong foundation in me. And it accompanied building material that I was building on that foundation, not realizing I'm the problem. I've got to make sure what foundation is laid in me so that when the evil day comes, I will succeed. Last week, I told you three things that will lay a foundation in you concerning the word hear. Let him hear. Number one, attitude. If we lay within us an attitude, a mental position, a mindset, if we allow that to remain in us, then we better be careful, because we could have the wrong mindset floating around on the inside of us. And the antidote for this is humility. Because we, all of us, every one of us in this building, have a mindset in us. Every one of us do. Don't kid yourself. But if your mindset cannot be changed by the Word of God, you could have the wrong mindset in your foundation that's not good. And that's just part of the ingredients for the term of hearing. The second one, and this has happened in my life time and time again, and I have to deal with this. I no longer hold a driving force to listen. I've had times in my life when I kick back and let complacency and indifference filter into my thinking process and my hearing process. And that's another part of my foundation that I had laid within me. And then the third and last component is that I had no consideration for the outcome of what anchors and stabilizes my heart. Because the Word of God has been given to us to do something with our heart. And when people get lazy, have no driving diligence or forcing them to hear, then what's going to happen to you is you're going to start ordering up a building material that fits that foundation. And I don't want that foundation in me. And I had it in me. I had it in me, people. And I had to deal with myself. You know, it says in Galatians 5 there, or 6, he says, when a man is overtaken in a fault, you which is spiritual, restore him considering thyself. You know that word considering thyself? Here's how I used to interpret that. Meaning you could fall prey to the same thing. That's how I used to look at that. I don't no more. A man who is spiritual is the one who has given consideration to himself. That means that if I'm going to be spiritual, I cannot build off of a foundation I should not have in me. And so the first thing I got to do is I got to go to the Word of God and find out how I fit into that Word. And if I don't fit into that Word the way the Word explains it, I got to do something with me first. I have to consider myself first. Oh, I wish I could get that across to all of us. But I'm preaching to myself as well. You have to consider yourself first. None of us will hear the Word of God in such a way we can judge somebody else with it without first of all it judging us. And so, if this is the kind of foundation that you have in yourself right now, and don't kid yourself, you might have it in you, then you have to build off of that. And you know what kind of material you'll build off? Wood, hay, and stubble. You think you know something when you don't know zip. I'll tell you what kind of building material I was ordering up. Somebody says, where do you get all this stuff? Off of tapes and books? No, I get it off of me. I get it off of self. And here's one. You listen through self-justification. You're gonna listen to the Word of God in such a way that you can be self-justified. But here's another one. To judge through someone else's mistakes. You can hear the Word of God so you can judge through somebody else's mistake. You know what this is called? Matthew 7. The teaching of chips and logs. We can use the Word of God to judge somebody else. That's old Pentecostalism. Number 3, to cover yourself. You know, a lot of believers are afraid to face themselves. Do you know something? It's much easier for me to find fault in somebody else than to find it in self. That hurts. I don't mind anybody else getting indicted. When it comes to me, ouch. John Shear. I love that man. I had a staff problem. Not with the staff, but it was in me. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just gossiping about my staff. And John Shear was sitting across my desk listening. And so I stopped and I said, well, what do you think, John? John leans across my desk. He said, well, Pastor, you know I'm committed to you. But if you can talk that way about your staff, you have the ability to do it about me. Do you know how that made me feel? You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to crawl under my desk. It hurt so bad I wanted to tell him, get out of my office. I'm boss here. You know what that did to me? It caused me to turn my face to God in prayer. And God did not justify me. So it's through your natural self-image, your viewpoint of yourself, that is called a mindset. You better make sure that you're being conformed into His image and not covering your own. Another one is we listen through being hurt. Past disappointments and rejections of the past of people and things. A person like this is more body rule than they are spirit led. And another one is not preparing yourself for focus. Alert focus. Falling asleep in services. This is where believers do not understand that you see everything through your mind. How many of you realize that? You know, I'm seeing you physically, but literally the images are coming off of my mind. And so when you start hearing the Word of God, you've got to make sure that you're hearing off the right foundation. Because I'm going to tell you something. You could be hearing through your natural eye rather than a disciplined mind to hear with. This is where a person falls asleep in a sermon or not focused, not diligently focused to hear what's being said. His mind wanders, or somebody can cut right in on the Holy Ghost and let their mind cough up scriptures. I've learned that I do not allow my mind to have that option anymore. I want to hear what's being said so I can sift it for myself. I've trained myself not to let my mind do that. My carnal mind wants to cut in on my spiritual mind. And God wants your spiritual mind to be alerted. So a person who has no focus is because he's got the wrong foundation laid within him. And if you're not diligent to hear, you're going to just sit there and you're going to let your mind walk all over God's creation. And another one is physical sickness. That robs us from more hearing than people realize. When you get sick, you don't want to go to church. You might infect somebody else. I mean, it is this constant one barrage after another. And if you keep buying into that mess, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan will use it for all its glory. And another one, the last one I'm going to cover is respecter of persons. People hear more from the glory or the strength of a mentor than what is actually being said. I love the people over my life that have been mentors into it, but I've always turned to the Holy Ghost to help me understand what is being said that I've heard. Now, we're going to go to my favorite story in the entire New Testament. I love this story because this story so speaks of you and me. Go to Mark 4. Go to Mark 4. You know, it's very interesting. I shared with this already with you one time. That after I had started listening to Kenneth Hagin's ministry and Kenneth Copeland and a lot of the good ministers, even the witness of some of you was very interesting. That you guys were listening to the same people that I have listened to. How many of you enjoyed what you've heard from these men? I've always enjoyed it. Everything they had to say. But it was real interesting. I would run across believers who had heard about them, but really didn't know what they were saying. Because the very thing that they did not want to hear them with is the very reason. The opposite reason for why I was hearing him. I'm going to tell you, Kenneth Hagin, nobody can teach faith like he does and was more balanced with it. But believers who did not receive his ministry were the ones that are always telling me he's a cult and don't pay attention to what he's saying. You know what I tell them now when they pull that stuff on me? Do you really know what they're saying? Have you really heard what they're saying? Because if they really heard what they were saying, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying. Hearing is a very important aspect to the Word of God that many of us don't cherish. We're living in America. This is the land of the free and the home of the courageous. And so we have that freedom to hear with. Now, in Mark chapter 4, we're going to start with a parable that Jesus uses. It says, if you don't understand this one, you ain't going to understand any of them. It's how we hear. Do you know, I'm going to indict myself here a moment. Do you know that I, as a teacher of the Word of God, I have to be made aware of where you are coming from. So that when I deliver you the Word of God, it's imperative that you catch it. Amen? Well, one of the things that makes it very difficult when it comes to the preaching the kingdom of God is if you become dull of hearing, Paul said, it's very hard for that person to understand. Because you're preaching to a bunch of blocks. Rick Sharkey calls them stumps. And I said, call them stumps? He says, yeah, they're trees cut off and they're just sit there like a stump. And I said, well, what does that mean? He says, they're dumb as stumps. They're just there and they're just no good. Now notice here in Mark 4, chapter 4. Jesus begins to teach them. He taught them many parables. But he says in verse 3, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased in produce, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, now I want you to underline this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I guarantee you, if God would expose you, some of you have already let your mind wander from my voice. How many of you got these buzzards that go off in your car? How many of you got to the point you don't even hear them anymore? They're there. You just don't hear them. You want to know why? You tuned them out. You know, when I come into this building to disarm the alarm, do you know that I cannot hear the buzzer going off on the alarm now until I open the door and I can hear it? That's how you begin to tune something out that you hear so many times. It's called familiarity. Who's speaking tonight? Jan Butler? I'll be there. Who's speaking tonight? John Cook? Oh, brother. You guys miss Jim Hockaday. You're doing yourself an injustice. I've been under that man's ministry. You will be blessed. He will bring a freshness to the body. I wouldn't have him here. I don't defile this pulpit. Now notice he says this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now he mentions these same verses a little bit later, but he adds some things in there. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And in the Greek, this word literally means hidden secrets or hidden truths. It's the word mysterion. That is the word that's used to a man who speaks in tongues and prays to the Lord about the mysteries of God by that language. Now notice he says, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. How many of you know when I first read that, I said, isn't that what you want, God? And he says, you got to keep it in the text. He's saying that he has plainly laid the kingdom, the mysteries and the hidden truths of the kingdom of God in our lap. But a man who wants to know what they're about has to diligently pursue it. Glory to God. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, there's that word again. And we're going to find the word hear 9 times in half of the chapter. Now somebody keeps bringing something up, it's because he wants us to get a hold of it. Now, notice he says, they hear. Thing that threw me off for a long time is, how can they hear the Word of God and still be taken out? Well, it's how they hear. Here goes. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, hard ground, who when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh. Boy, that's where I was at when I first heard the Word. Matter of fact, the first time I heard the Word, it did a number on my head. You want to know why? Because I was already educated the other way. Does a number on your thinking. Here you start hearing the Word of God for the first time, and here's how you heard it before, and all of a sudden you're hearing it this way. You know, it does a number on that mindset over here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you heard the Word and heard the Word and finally heard it and you go, oh my gosh, I'm seeing what I'm saying. Now notice this. He says, they hear the Word and immediately receive it. I want you to learn the word receive. This word is different than the word in verse 20 where it says they accept it. The word receive here is how they were hearing it. Here's how they were hearing the word. They happened to be at the right place at the right time, and the sower happened to throw seed on them. And they liked what they heard. Woo, I agree with that. You know what you're in agreeing with that will mean? It'll mean something until the fire comes. The evil day shows up. And that will show you where your position of what you heard is true or not. And so the word here for receive it is the word lambano. It literally means that they came into a service and they heard the Word of God thrown on them. Just lambano means to throw something on something. And they threw it on your hearing and you go, oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree. Until the evil day comes. And Jesus right here says, the whole purpose is Satan when you hear the Word of God to come at you. With what? Persecution and affliction. Why? For the Word's sake. The seed that was sown on you, He doesn't want it to begin to take root in you. When a seed takes root, it has a potential to grow. So He's got to remove that word. And if you're hard ground, it won't take root. And if it does, it's so shallow that the first storm that comes along or sun, it'll wipe it out. Now notice what He says. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake immediately, they are offended. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. The word choke literally means to put pressure on someone's throat. And to you literally remove its ability to breathe. Because it's so choked out from all these other things. Boy, I see that constantly. It is a major factor in our body. Is the deceitfulness of other things coming in distract people's ability to hear the Word of God. You know what? God wants you to have wealth. God wants you to have everything that this life has to offer. But He wants you to have it on His terms, not yours. Because His terms are lasting. Yours is unpredictable. Now notice what He says here. He says, but these are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word. Accepted and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The word accept here is a Greek word paradekomai, which literally means they went to a specific place to hear a specific message, to take what they heard, the rhema that was taught them, to take it and put it alongside of themselves. They're considering themselves first. Are you following what I'm saying? They put it alongside themselves. And this word literally, dekomai, means to receive a word to take action with. Boy, I said a mouthful right there. Most of us hear the word, and just because we've heard it, it should work. But a guy who literally takes the Word of God and places it alongside himself is the one who's desiring to do that so that when the evil day comes, he can take action to do it. One thing the enemy wants to do is find any means to shut off your hearing ability. And he says here, accept it to take action. And this is what will bear fruit in your life. Not hearing it, but to act on it. That's what this word dekomai literally means. It means to hear something, to take action. As a matter of fact, this word really gets interesting when you really study the fullness of it. It literally means a word that goes down into the heart of a person. Powerful word. It's sure different from the word lamano. Something fell on you. A lot of us are hearing with something falling on us. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? He's referring to the body of flesh. For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor anything been kept secret, but that should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Here we go again. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. You know, a lot of us are very careless at what we listen to. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. I'm going to show you what this says in the Greek. And he said to them, take heed what you're hearing. With what measure you use is what will be added to you. What measure you use is what will be added to you. How many of you know? That's a powerful statement there. Because it all falls to this hearing again. And notice he says, for what measure you're listening with, that's the measure that will be added back to you. Now let me ask you, if you had two containers here, and you had one filled with this much of water, two fingers, and you had another container that has four fingers of water, how many of you know that this is a clear indication that one container has more water in it than the other one? Guess what? The one with the least water, guess what? Will do you less good than the one that has more water. Isn't that right? If you're thirsty, do you want two fingers of water? You want the full cup. That's the measure that's going to be measured back to you, because if you become careless at what you're hearing and become lackadaisical and become complacent, then what's going to happen is that measure that you're putting forth is a measure you're going to get back, which is a lot less than as if you would put the full effort forward to listen with. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You know what he's saying there? You have these two measures. You have one two fingers, you have one four fingers. Do you know that the two fingers is what's going to cause you to lose, not the four? Because you might need the rest of that measure to survive. I hope this is simple enough for you. And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Boy, I'll tell you, the word of God grows in your heart. You do not know how. You cannot figure that out. Now notice this. For the earth yields, in the Greek it says, for the earth yields of its own accord. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full corn in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said unto them, what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it as? Like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And when the birds were mentioned before, it mentioned that it can steal or eat the seed. And now all of a sudden, you sprout into a tree of faith that you can now house the birds rather than stealing the seed from you. Your growth causes their habitation to live in. Interesting, isn't it? Now notice this. This is my favorite part to this whole chapter. Matter of fact, you guys might remember when Doug Jones was here and he said it was a mystery. He didn't understand why Jesus went into such a deep sleep when he got on the boat, and yet that storm came and he almost drowned. That puzzled me. Why did Jesus fall asleep? I mean, he's God. He's God. I mean, it didn't say he went blubba, 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 blubba. He did something. You know what he did? He got mad. Who'd he get mad at? His disciples. Matter of fact, he got so mad at him, he rebuked him. How many, if I rebuked one of you in my congregation, how many of you would feel rebuked? Yeah. Not a good thing. I'm going to tell you, this is when this gets beautiful, this story. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. A lot of people are not able to hear the Word of God. Why? They got too much of themselves in the way. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, boy, this passage is so powerful. But when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. That verse is loaded with revelation. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, it did not say, let's hope we get to the other side. He said, let us cross over to the other side. And if I didn't understand verse 34, I would have never understood what is to follow. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. The other little boats were alone also with him. You know there are other boats involved? And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. In the Greek it says, in a deep sleep. It's called a sleep that refreshes the physical man. How many of you ever woke up and realize you slept way too long, but you felt so rested? That's the kind of sleep he was in. Now notice he says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Uh-oh, here comes us. Here comes us. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Boy, in the Greek, this is a beautiful wording here. It literally says in the Greek, he put a muzzle on the wind. He put a muzzle on it. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. How did he put the muzzle on the storm? He spoke to it. But he said to them, how are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? They had a mindset. Now I want you to get a hold of this beautiful passage here, because it's so typical of us. When he explained all things to his disciples, this word is epiluo. It literally means to untie or to release linear action. It means to explain in complete detail of what is past, what is present, and what is future. They knew the storm was coming. They didn't get in the boat and all of a sudden the storm show up. No, they heard what Jesus said. But they didn't believe in what He said. They had no faith in Him. Some of you, I'm going to tell you, God has given you a word. He has spoken to you by promises. He's given you specific scripture, and you still don't believe in Him. And yet you turn around and say, He's spoken to you. That is so typical of us. So typical. Every one of us have fallen to that. Every one of us has fallen to this storm thing. And Peter got a hold of it. He remembered when Jesus expounded, there's going to be a storm that comes up. I want you to stand up and muzzle that storm, so I can finish sleeping. Yeah, it's awesome. And Peter began to think. You know who Peter was? He was the first one that received revelation from God. And he's the first one that received it from the devil. Peter learned from that storm experience. We should have stood up and spoke to that storm and muzzled it. So what Jesus is saying, He says, you go ahead and take care of the storm. Storm came and what happened? Forgot everything He said. How many of you have had the word said to you, and yet when you get into a storm of life, everything falls apart? You know why? Because I was hearing the word of God, and I had no intentions of taking action on it. Because I really did not trust in it. Every one of us are guilty of that. Every single one of you. Am I preaching to you? Absolutely. Directly to you. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it don't fit, it's because you're not willing to try it. Sorry, I'm preaching to you. But I'm preaching to you and to you and to you and to me. The pastor sometimes is his own worst enemy. I have to work myself out preaching to you so it'll get in me. And so He said to them, let us cross over. So really, it was not the fact that the storm was stopping them. It's the fact that they didn't trust in His word. He said, let us go over to the other side. Jesus had given His word, and He would have backed His word and them using it through them. That's why they got rebuked.
If I'm getting to the right evangelist, I'm healed.
Well, you need an evangelist if you have that kind of mindset. But He said to them, how is it that you have no faith? Actually, in the Greek it says, have you still no faith? How come you still don't have any faith? Because they heard it and didn't believe in it. And they heard it not to take action with. They just heard it to assimilate more knowledge. Ever hearing and never coming to the knowledge. That's epignosis. It means revelation or insight to act on. We think we hear the Word of God. We think that's it. You have to hear the Word of God to act on it. That's why 1 John is so powerful. Because John the writer laid it out in such a way, you have no excuse. Matter of fact, he has worded 1 John so clearly that if you are saying one thing and not doing another, you're a rotten liar. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, how many feel that your feet were stepped on this morning? I have some shoes at home. I'll show you sometime. I'm going to be putting together a book called The Body of Flesh. It's probably one of the most important books that I could put together. How many of you have been in my office? How many of you have seen it? It's wall-to-wall books. And I have found only one chapter in that entire volume, only one chapter in Kenneth Hagin's book called The Triumphant Church, where he mentions the body of flesh. I have volumes all on the devil. If there's anything you want to know about the devil, I can help you. But only one chapter is all I could find on the body of flesh. What is that all about? Major deception to the body of Christ. We think the carnal mind can know God. We think the body of flesh can know God, and it can't. Why do you think that Jesus positioned it in death on the cross? He wanted to turn you into graveyard material so he could resurrect your inner man. And that was that prophecy we brought forward this morning, right out of Matt's spirit. That means Matt had been plugged into the Word of God too much. You're responsible for that insight, brother. That's what comes out of you. That's what God energizes in you. Well, would you guys like to hear a spirit of prophecy from me? Seahawks are going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. And win it. I said that prophecy came out of me. I had to cover myself. Anyway. Amen. Did you guys get something here this morning? It is important how you hear. It is important how you hear. If we get ourselves out of the way, if we consider ourselves, we can help someone who is missing it. We can. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. I thank you for your wonderful... You're cutting God off. Was that me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody bow your heads for a moment. Father, this morning, as we close this service, it's an important one, Father, because your word has gone forth. And Father, I pray that your people have heard it. And I pray that they take this word, this rhema. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by a rhema of God. And I pray that they take it and just put it alongside themselves, Father. But let's be real with our person that we are. And Father, if we don't match up with the Word of God, then Father, may we all make an adjustment in that area. Good Lord knows we all have adjustments. So, Father, that's what I pray over your wonderful, beautiful people this morning. They would take my word personally and put it alongside themselves and ask themselves, is that foundation in them? Is it really there? And if so, help them to remove it. Oh, Father, that's so important. So important for their life. They would just be real with themselves. Come to grips with himself through that perfect law of liberty that resides within them, and you can help them. So if you're here this morning, and you can say, Pastor, I've never really given my heart and life to Jesus, and I want to. I want to come into the kingdom of God with all its fullness. I know it's going to take time to grow. But Father, I know I have the Word of God to grow by. And I want Jesus as my personal Savior. We want to pray with you this morning. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in that beautiful language that so many believers hate, Father, they need that language to talk directly to God, to draw the mysteries out of heaven with. And Father, we want to lay hands on and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Father, if anyone has been out of fellowship with you, have been backslid, gone back into the ways of the world and want to restore their walk with you, we want to pray for them. And so if you're here today and you fit one of them meetings, we want to have you come forward when we dismiss the service. And we have altar workers that will work with you and minister to you. If you're new here and visiting for the first time and you want to meet with me, we have an hospitality room in back. And after I get through ministering here, I'll go back there and meet with you. And so having said that, let's pray for dismissal. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. Father, as we now close this service, I pray that the altar call will manifest the needs of the people. And may the rest walk in victory today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Yes, hallelujah.